What it do, baby? Yes, sir. It's the Zoo Yorker, and that means one thing and one thing only. I am your host, Big Zoo, a.k.a. Ed R. Zooming, coming to you here on April 25th, 2024. That is a Thursday for all of y'all keeping track out there, and it is also day one of the NFL draft, and we will be getting into that shortly, but first, make sure you hit that follow and subscribe button so you get to find out when these podcasts come out. As soon as they come out, you will be notified of the episodes dropping. And of course, if you feel so inclined to do so, if my voice is making you feel some type of way right now, or you just enjoy the podcast, leave it a 5-star review. It helps get more eyes onto the pod, and it helps, you know, makes me feel good too. But if you have something else you'd like to say to me, feel free, go to the X machine, the Twitter machine, the Elon Musk machine, whatever machine it is to you, and fire it up and hit me up at ZooBeard77. That is ZOOBEARD77. And let me know what you think about the Giants and Jets selections tonight and who you think they should select leading into the first round here. And there have been a lot of rumors flying around about both of these franchises and what they're going to be doing in this draft. And it feels like this should be a hotter topic in town, but it really hasn't been in the weeks leading up. But I feel like now that we're here and the draft is finally upon us, I think that the heat is really starting to pick up, at least for me. And now I feel like we got two teams in the New York area picking in the top 10. Now let's just dive right on into the Giants head first at number 6, because I think the Giants are the biggest domino in this draft, and what they do is going to set the tone for the rest of this NFL draft, because there are rumors about the Giants taking Malik Nabers at number 6. There are rumors about them taking J.J. McCarthy at number 6. And now, over the last couple of days, the biggest rumor has become that the Giants will be moving up in the draft to select a quarterback, one that may be Drake May. We've heard Drake May make comments about Brian Daboll and say, tongue-in-cheek, you know, oh, I like what they're doing up there. I like how, you know, Daboll is able to work with quarterbacks. It's very tongue-in-cheek, but it's very right there in front of you, too. I gotta say, I appreciate how coy the Giants have been throughout this entire process, because me personally, I think what they're going to end up doing is trading up in the draft and getting themselves a quarterback of the future. And as crazy as that sounds, I think that it's going to be Drake May. I think they've done a hell of a job of keeping themselves in a position where if May drops and Jaden Daniels goes at number 2 and May is there at number 3, that they are going to make the deal with the Patriots and they're going to be able to get their guy, which is the biggest problem that I had when I was talking about them drafting J.J. McCarthy last week, is that they weren't going to be getting a guy that I believed that they believed in. I thought they were going to take McCarthy simply because he was the quarterback on the board when they picked. Clearly, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it would be shocking if that happened, honestly, at this point. If the Giants do not move up, if May were to go number 2 to the Commanders, then I think they take Nabers there at number 6. I don't think that there's even a question about it. I think that's the way they go, and they punt the quarterback situation either to a later round or they just fully punt it to next year. I don't think that there is a full-on rush in the Giants organization to draft a guy like J.J. McCarthy if there is no need to draft him. I don't think that they're going to force it, and that's a really, really, really good thing. But if you want my prediction for what happens tonight, I think you're going to see the New York Giants selecting at number 3 one way or another. And I think Drake May is their first choice, but I don't think Jaden Daniels is too far behind either. And I think that either one of those quarterbacks would be an absolute steal for this organization. I don't think Drake May necessarily works everywhere, but I think with Brian Daboll, you see the best of Drake May in the NFL and potentially a guy who is one of the better quarterbacks in the NFC for the next 15 years. I think Jaden Daniels has all the potential to be the best quarterback in this draft when it's all said and done. So if you're able to get him into the building, put a little weight onto his frame, and turn him into an NFL-sized quarterback in terms of his width and withstanding of hits, I mean, this kid is going to be special, special. Like, we're talking, I mean, the sky is the limit for him, the way that it is for C.J. Stroud, I think. That's the type of player Jaden Daniels can be. So if I'm the Giants and either Drake May or Jaden Daniels is sitting there available at number 3 or number 4 even, I am trading up and I am getting one of those men on my team. Period. End of sentence. That's the move for the Giants. And that is a move that is going to potentially set this NFL draft on fire. Because who knows where you're going to start to see guys going. At that point, you'll have the top 3 QBs going 1, 2, 3. J.J. McCarthy will still be on the board with a lot of teams behind, potentially looking to trade up and get into that top 10 to get J.J. McCarthy. And that all has an effect on that team picking at number 10 in the New York Jets. And I know as a Jet fan, I will be watching very closely what happens with Malik Nabers. I am very, very hopeful that Malik Nabers is going to be the man that the Jets end up with in this draft, even if they have to trade up to 8 or 9 or even 7 to get him. I think if he is sitting there, you have to make that move happen. I'm not quite sure if he's going to be sitting there. He is probably the most talented wide receiver in this draft outside of Marvin Harrison Jr. And he's a playmaker. He's a bona fide NFL playmaker. So I would not be shocked one bit if you saw him go in the top 5 or you saw him go at number 6 to whoever is sitting there at 6, whether it be the Giants or the Patriots or somebody else who traded up to get Malik Nabers. But I just don't think that Malik Nabers is going to be sitting there at number 10 or anywhere close where the Jets can strike a trade to get him onto their roster. That being said, Brock Bowers is a name that the Jets have been tied to intimately over the past 3 months because it sounds like Travis Kelce. It sounds like Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. I don't think Bowers is the way to go. I think Bowers would be a beautiful pick if this team desperately needed a starting tight end. I don't think that this team either needs a tight end, nor they need a tight end like Bowers on this team. And I know that sounds crazy, because what team wouldn't want Brock Bowers? And I'm not saying I wouldn't want Brock Bowers on the Jets. I'm just saying the Jets don't need another possession receiver. The Jets don't need another guy who's not going to be able to light up the field and go vertical. The Jets need a guy who's going to be able to take the top off of defenses, because right now their two top receivers are Garrett Wilson, who has some speed and is able to do some things out there, but by no means is he a vertical threat, and Mike Williams, who can be a vertical threat, but how often is he fully healthy in order to be that threat for your team consistently? Both of them, again, have the ability to go long on passes, but neither of them would be classified as deep threats or vertical route runners. So I think that the Jets need to really focus in on getting another wide receiver here. Plus the fact they only have two, I mean, in my opinion, NFL wide receivers. And Gibson is a good player, but he's not a guy that you want sitting there as your number 3 option when it's all said and done and you go into the regular season. You would like to have him as a 4th or a 5th option because that provides your team depth. If you don't have depth, it doesn't matter. And when you have Aaron Rodgers at your quarterback, you just need to have an abundance and a buffet style of receivers for him to work with. You already have Garrett. You already have Mike Williams. And I love Tyler Conklin, and I love Rucker at the tight end position. I think both of those guys are going to benefit unbelievably from playing with Aaron Rodgers. I think you're going to see Tyler Conklin become a borderline all-pro, Pro Bowl type tight end playing with Aaron Rodgers, because Conklin already does all of the nitty-gritty things very well. And he's able to catch the ball. And he's able to run proper routes. And he has a good relationship with quarterbacks. He's just able to find their eyes in the right moment when they need him. He is a good tight end as it is. To go out and draft a guy at number 10 because you want to have the best instead of really good when you still have a lot of big time issues across the offense, which include wide receiver and offensive line to that point. You can't waste that pick on a luxury item like Brock Bowers, who potentially might not be able to be on the field in certain situations down near the goal line where you need your tight end to be able to hold up on a block. I mean, these are things that you have to consider with Brock Bowers. A lot of people look at him more as a route runner than they look as a tight end. He's not this Gronkowski. He's not a guy like that who is blocking dudes and basically another offensive lineman. He's another receiver, but he's another receiver that doesn't do what the Jets need their next receiver to do, and that's get vertical. So I think what the Jets need to do in this draft here is trade down a little bit and find themselves into a solid position, whether that be trading down once into the mid-teens or even trading down again and getting into the lower teens. But I think that this Jets organization has to be targeting Brian Thompson Jr., wide receiver, LSU. And I realize this is probably, to some of you out there, a compensation pick because you don't get Malik Nabers. Well, you take his quote-unquote number two over at LSU. But you know what? This is the right guy. This is the guy in the draft who can set the field on fire going vertical that's not named Malik Nabers. This is the guy in the draft that is going to be able to take safeties and put them on his side of the field so you can leave more action for a guy like Garrett Wilson or for Mike Williams to have, or for potentially a running back that you have running out of the backfield. It opens the door for so many possibilities with your offense. He is the right guy. And the best part of it for the Jets is that he is projected to go late teens, early 20s, which means that you're going to be able to trade back and you're going to potentially be able to recoup that second round pick that you used to get Aaron Rodgers on this team last season. And if they do that, well, I'm going to have to give Joe Douglas a lot of credit because sitting here today, that's the perfect move for this Jets franchise moving forward. Get it done, Joe. I said that Malik Nabers was the right guy the other day, and I still believe that. But if you can't get Malik, then you go get his partner in crime in Thomas Jr. And you find yourself the vertical threat that's going to take the top off of defenses so this offense can thrive unbelievably going forward. I can't wait. I'm very hyped up for this draft tonight. I didn't think I was going to be saying that a couple of days ago, but now that we're here, we here, baby. We here. Woof! About last night. What a fun little segment we always have here where we get to recap the happenings around the New York sports world last night. And there wasn't really a lot to write home about, honestly. The Mets go out to San Francisco and they get the job done. 8-2. I mean, a big time performance from Francisco Lindor, who goes out there, gets 2 homers, 4 hits. Really powers this Mets team to a victory here today. And I just got to be honest with you, it's nice to see Lindor start to break out in a big way from this slump. People just want to crush this guy, and people just want to get on him because of his contract and because of what they don't see out of him. And when he does produce, they just like to diminish it by saying it's not enough. It's not enough. The guy plays every single day, even when he sucks, even when he's playing at his worst. He's out there every single day. He doesn't dodge the media. He doesn't dodge any questions. He is a leader in that clubhouse. And when he performs, he is one of the best shortstops in Major League Baseball, both hitting and in the field. And it's not particularly close. He's one of those dudes. So right now, seeing him get hot potentially, and I said this to one of my friends a couple of weeks ago, if he gets hot, when he breaks out of this streak, watch out. Because this kid is going to have himself one of the best seasons that he has ever had. I just, there's something about this year for Francisco Lindor and what I'm seeing out of him and the expectations. I feel like this is going to be a year now that he's got the weight off of his shoulders, now that he's finally gotten rolling. I think you're going to see Lindor play at an unbelievable pace throughout the rest of the spring and into this summer, because that's who Francisco Lindor is. He's not a 180 hitter. He doesn't hit below the Mendoza line. He's not a bad fielder. He's not a non-power hitter. He is a guy who does everything. He is a five-tool player in the absolute sense of the phrase. And I love watching the guy play, and I'm just happy for him that he's finally breaking out of this here as the Mets head home. Unfortunately, Reed Garrett gave up his first run of the year, but he also got a win. He's now 4-0. So shout out to Reed Garrett, who's been an absolute superstar out of that bullpen for the Mets this season. I mean, coming out of nowhere to become one of the more relied upon arms that Carlos Mendoza has in the pen. And how about this? How about this? Tyrone Taylor got a start yesterday. And you know what he did? He just drove in three runs, hit a bomb, and had himself a little bit of a day, too, out there in San Francisco. And Tyrone Taylor, I spoke about it. They need to find a way to get him more playing time. I don't care who it's at the expense of. Hopefully, Joey Wendell for the most part. But Tyrone Taylor is doing way too much right now to keep him glued to the bench for essentially the entire road trip until you're just ready to, Blake Snell's on the mound, so I'll stick him out there because it's a lefty. And then Blake Snell doesn't even end up pitching, and Tyrone Taylor goes yard off of a righty. So it's about time we see Tyrone Taylor get more burn out there, but that's probably going to be affected now with the return of J.D. Martinez, or the debut of J.D. Martinez, I should say, since he's never played for the Mets before. It's not a return, it's a debut. But J.D. Martinez will most likely be joining the team on this homestand here. I don't think it'll be Friday. That seems a little too premature, but he will definitely be with this team on this homestand, and we will see this lineup essentially at full strength. So it's going to be a fun weekend at Citi Field. Make sure you get your asses down there to see the Cardinals and the Mets play if you have nothing to do on Saturday or Sunday. But if you have something to do, enjoy that little something that you got to do. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. In the Boogie Down Bronx last night, however, you got to see exactly what I was talking about yesterday with this Yankee lineup. Give them time and they will produce. What happens in the first inning? El Rise, here comes the judge, with a bomb to get the lead up to 2-0 to start out the game. And then everything just happened from there. You got a Juan Soto home run. You got contributions up and down the lineup. I mean, that's what you're looking for from this Yankee team going forward. Now, are you going to get every game like that? No. But you have the superstars in there that can be contributing on a consistent basis that you should never be getting shut out. You should never be getting held to one. Well, not never should be getting held to one run, but you should not often be getting held to one run or shut out. That is pathetic for a team with this much power offensively, for a team with this much potential offensively. You can never allow that to happen. It's pathetic. And the Yankees will not continue to allow that to happen. I highly doubt that with all these guys in the lineup, with all their experience, with just who they are. I mean, Gleyber Torres is not a sub-200 hitter. Aaron Judge is not a sub-200 hitter. You know, Giancarlo Stanton is going to hit you home runs. You're going to see Anthony Volpe start to really get things going at some point in terms of power production and whatnot. This is a really, really exceptional offensive team, and they're only going to continue to grow. Give them a little bit of time. It's still April. Give them time. Last night is what they can be when they hit their full-on potential. And when they get to the summer, I think last night is what you will see the Yankees be, more than not. And while I'm still on the Yankees, how about Clark Schmidt? This is a guy who has completely taken on the role of being a fourth or fifth starter in this rotation and has held on to it. And it's really a beautiful thing to watch. It really is a beautiful thing to see Clark Schmidt pretty much lock up his spot in this rotation for the rest of the year, these first couple of months of the season, And I think it's great for the Yankees. I mean, look at this rotation that they got right now without Gerrit Cole. You got Marcus Stroman, you got Carlos Rodon, you have Luis Gil, and you have Clark Schmidt, along with Nestor Cortez. But now Nestor Cortez becomes a expendable piece when Gerrit Cole gets back. Now Nestor Cortez becomes a guy where you can put him in the bullpen, and along with Luke Weaver, they can be two guys who bridge you from a starter in Gil who can go five, maybe six innings, and get you to the bullpen, to the thick of the bullpen, to the Ian Hamiltons, to the Clay Holmeses. That's what you're looking for. If the Yankees can get that, and they can get Nestor cooking in that role like they had him a couple of years back before they converted him to a starter, I think this team, oof, oof. I mean, you're talking about maybe one of the, maybe the best team in the league. I mean, and I'm not just talking about the American League. I'm talking about all of Major League Baseball. This is a talented roster. If this lineup starts hitting at its potential like it did last night, if they can continue to do that, which I believe that they will, this pitching has shown you that they are championship quality. And when you add Gerrit Cole to them, they solidify that even more. This team is good. This team is really good. Start giving them a little bit of slack when it comes to the offense because it's early. If we're still talking about this in June and in July and the Yankees are losing series, then we can have a conversation. But right now, the dialogue is very, 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 very over the top. This team is going to be fine. They're going to be fine. Just give it a little bit of time. That's all I ask. Just give it a little bit of time. And I know time is a precious thing. Just ask the Islanders. They get it going tonight at UBS Arena, taking on the Carolina Hurricanes in a Game 3 that feels like they're already running out of time. It already feels like with that 0-2 deficit the Isles face after blowing that Game 2 the other night. I mean, it feels insurmountable right now at this point. But you're coming home to UBS. You get the puck drop here tonight with 18,000 or 16,000 or 17,000, however many thousand of screaming nutjob Islander fans. And I love it because it's the playoffs, baby. Let's get it going. You get that puck drop at 7:30 tonight at UBS. That place is going to be rocking. Get it done. Don't let the time run out on you. Don't let the time run out on you because you can still win this series. Carolina is right there for the pickings. You had them. You had them in that last game. The only thing is you took your foot off the gas, which might be a knock on this Islander team for all season. We've seen them blow how many games in the third period? Well, it's the postseason now. I shouldn't expect anything different. That potentially is on me, and that's why the other night happened. But you know what? This team can do damage. This team can do a lot of damage. All they need is a little bit of belief going into that third period. All they need is a little bit of killer mentality when they go into that third period. If they can find that over these next two games, when this building is going to be rocking in Elmont, then the Isles are not only right back in this series, but they are going to win this series. Like I told you they would in six games. Mark my words. Get this one tonight. Get it tonight. This is the most important game. And then you look forward to the next one. Win tonight by any means necessary. And don't take your foot off the gas. You are the aggressor. This is your house. Play like it. The Isles are too damn talented to allow themselves to get murked by a Carolina Hurricanes team that can be gotten. They are too damn talented. And they did too much work down the stretch to allow it to come to this right now. Let's go, Isles fans. Show up for your boys tonight. Let's go, Isles, and show up for your fans tonight. Show up for your people tonight. Show up for yourselves. Put a little pride in this one. They knocked you out on your home ice last year. They think they own that place. They think they own UBS. because they did that to you last year in the playoffs. Do not allow it to happen again. Don't let it happen again. Go out there and do your damn thing, because we all know you're capable of it. I like this Isles team. I like them a lot. Get it done. And another get it done spot tonight, that's the New York Knickerbockers. Humongous, humongous game three down in Philly. One that is going to have a very live crowd with all those Philly fans feeling some type of way that they got robbed. They got robbed of game two. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't. Maybe your coach is the one that's making all the mistakes. Go back to yesterday's pod. Listen to what I had to say about Nick Nurse. But this is the primal game of this series for the New York Knicks. If they are able to win today, they take complete and utter control of a series going up 3-0 against the 76ers, who, I've said it this whole time, a lot of people have been disrespecting them around the league, saying that the Knicks have no business winning this series, saying that the Sixers are going to win this series, saying that the Knicks, it's cute that they got the 2 seed, it's cute that they got 50 wins, but the Sixers, they have Joel Embiid, they have Tyrese Maxey, they have Nick Nurse. Well, you know what? The Knicks have Jalen Brunson, who hasn't done a damn thing yet, and is about to head back down to Philly. Now, I know the Sixers have had his number all season long, and it has continued into this playoff run where he has looked like dumpster juice, but he is still an MVP candidate. He is still a dude who has figured it out at every turn this season. I fully expect Jalen Brunson to show up tonight. And if Jalen Brunson is able to show up tonight and do what Jalen Brunson does, he gives you 30-plus, he gives you 6-plus assists, he gives you a couple of boards, and he plays some strong defense drawing a charge or two, you're going to see this Knicks team pull out a Game 3 victory that is going to propel them into the second round eventually. This is the game. If you lose it, you give Philly all their momentum back. If Brunson looks bad again, oof, we're going to have conversations that I didn't think we were going to have. We are going to have those conversations at that point, because now we're going to be talking about a Philly team who is getting a lot of inspiration and a Knicks team whose superstar is getting locked down. The Knicks cannot allow a shift in momentum in this series. You have Philly reeling. You have Philly worrying about things that aren't basketball. You have this team right where you want them going into game three. Now be the aggressor. Just like I said to the Isles, be the aggressor. Do not take your foot off of the gas. Go and end this thing. Do what you gotta do. Go out there tonight and make it 3-0. The series ain't over at that point, but you have taken control. You have shown that who you are. Go out there and do it. The Knicks are better than this team, and I am tired of hearing people talk about how good the 76ers are. Hopefully, that all ends tonight, but a humongous sports night tonight. I mean, wow, we're packed. Wow, are we packed. We got Yankees starting at 7. We have Isles starting at 7:30. We have Knicks tipping off at 7:30. We have the NFL draft getting started at 8 o'clock. With the Giants and Jets both drafting in the top 10, potentially drafting elsewhere in the draft too. Who knows? Maybe the Giants jump back in. Maybe they trade up. Maybe they trade down. Maybe the Jets trade down. Who knows? It's going to be a crazy night of sports in the New York area, which means one thing and one thing only. You need to be locked in to the Zoo Yorker tomorrow when this pod drops, so make sure you hit that subscribe and follow so you will get the notification allowing you to listen as soon as we come out with the newest episodes, which are daily. But if you can't wait until tomorrow morning and you want to say something tonight, or you want to say something to me in general about one of the takes that I have on this show, or an opinion you have, or who you think the Jets or Giants are going to take in this draft, hit your boy up on Twitter, on X, on Elon Musk Machine, at ZooBeard77, at ZOOBEARD77. I'll talk to y'all there too. Appreciate you all for listening another time here. Make sure you go out and have yourself a beautiful day, a beautiful night, a beautiful morning, whatever it is when you are listening to this podcast. I appreciate you being here with me always. But I must now bid you adieu. Peace!